Welcome, members. Are the mics on? And okay, welcome. It's 8:15. We'll begin the meeting. I want to wish everyone a happy new year. Welcome to all the members to the Education Finance Committee, and I appreciate everyone's willingness to serve on this committee. I really do. I think there's a lot of wonderful things that we can do during the course of this year, and we have a very, very important task. We have the task here in this committee to direct precious, limited resources we receive from our tax dollars to educating our youth to make sure that they are career and college ready. And that's no easy task. And I'm a firm believer that the future of our state, the economy of our state, depends very much on what we do here in this committee. And yesterday, Kathy Schmidl-Kofer, I think is her name. She's the, yesterday we had the One Minnesota Conference. She is the Vice President, Executive Vice President of Greater Minneapolis-St. Paul. It's a 13-county regional economic development. And she was talking about century decisions, where things we do now impact well into the future, these century-type decisions. And I believe a lot of what we can do right here will impact into the future. So I welcome all. Yeah, it is an honor for me to have an opportunity to guide this committee. I look forward with working with our members, our staff, the public, all the stakeholders in education around this state to move us forward in achieving the goals that we'll set for this committee. So thanks again for everyone's willingness to serve. And the agenda today is very simple. We plan to have introductions. And then what I would like you to do when you introduce yourself is also to talk about what you would like to see out of this committee, kind of some of your goals and so forth. And so before we start that, I would like to turn this over to our lead on the GOP side. A real key in this committee is going to be to have a bipartisan approach, because we know that the priorities and goals of education are one and the same, whether or not you're a Democrat, Republican, Independent, or whatever. And so I am very much looking forward, Representative Woodard, to working with you as we move ahead on education finance. So,
well, thank you, Mr.
Representative
Chair.
Woodard.
And I certainly appreciate the conversations you and I have had and the comments you've made since being named chair. I think they are very helpful, and I look forward to that bipartisan approach as well. From my own priority standpoint, I think some of the things that we can agree upon are things like paying back the shift and making it harder to ever do again. I know that there's a bill that has been announced by the DFL that will pay back half of the shift. I think that's a very good start, and glad to see that that's happening. We also have a bill that will drop today that would require a 60% majority within the legislature to ever shift again. So, you know, of course, if we're going to borrow money from our kids, it should be just as difficult to do that as it is to borrow from bonds. And the student-centered reforms that, you know, really focus our resources on the classroom and on the teachers. And, you know, those are the areas that really start addressing the achievement gap that is, you know, we all talk about. The achievement gap, the two-tier system that we have today in this state is just unacceptable. It's not the Minnesota way. And those are the kinds of reforms that I'm looking forward to discussing in this committee. You know, there's a lot of areas like that. There's, you know, as we looked at LIFO reform in the last session, although that passed and was vetoed by the governor had some very good comments back to us on that piece of legislation that said he was open to those conversations, just didn't like the way it was written. So I'm certainly looking forward to finding a way that we can do those kinds of reforms and in a bipartisan fashion, and looking very, very much looking forward to serving on this committee, and looking forward to having you as our chair, Mr. Chair. I think it was a good pick, and we're very happy about it, and look forward to working with you.
Thank you very much, Representative Woodard, and I look forward to working with you and all the members on this committee. At this time, what I would like to do is go around, have members introduce themselves. I will start, if that is okay. I'm Representative Paul Marquardt, representing District 4B. And for all of you first-termers, for us veterans, to correctly say that new district number is not easy after 10 to 12 years of saying one number. But District 4B represents much of Clay County, all of Norman County, and the Detroit Lakes area in Becker County. I'm a teacher. This is my 29th year at Dilworth Glendon Felton teaching social studies. I'm married to my wife, Colleen, for 31 years. I have two daughters. My oldest daughter, Lindsay, is married to Grant. She teaches first grade and is expecting in May, right about the time we're digging in the budgets. I will be focused, I guarantee that. And my other daughter is in her fourth year at Minnesota State University at Moorhead in early childhood elementary education. And so somehow I must have made teaching look too easy. They're both very much involved with that, and I'm very proud of them. Let me talk about the goal a little bit that I would like to see. If we're going to have a world-class economy, we need to have a world-class education system here in Minnesota. And that means that every single student from every area of the state has to be career and college ready. That's a must for our economy. And I mentioned Ms. Schmidtelkover from the greater MSP. And she, when she was talking about recruiting businesses, she said our number one and best-selling asset is a talented workforce. And with that in mind, I really believe that in the state of Minnesota, we have an economic crisis looming on the horizon. And it's a crisis that is going to negatively impact our economy. It's going to negatively impact our quality of life and will not allow us in the future to be able to raise the resources we need to put into areas that we cherish and hold as high priorities in the state of Minnesota. And the cause of that crisis is a huge achievement gap. There is no way that you can get to a world-class economy when you have students of color and students of economic disadvantage at just one-half the graduation rate and one-half the rate of math proficiency than their white than white students in this state. There's no way you can get to a world-class economy when you have achievement gaps between various geographical areas of this state. That simply, we're not going to get to our goals with this huge achievement gap. And so my goal is for this committee, I hope that we can look at resources that we can direct to data-driven efforts and strategies that have a proven track record of improving student performance and closing the achievement gap. That would be my goal. And I really see the achievement gap as the number one threat to our future economic success and vitality. I just see it as that important. And so that's my goal I will put out there. And what I'd like to do is go next to Representative Woodard, and I think we'll just go around this way, and then we'll have staff introduce themselves and move from there. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I represent District 20A. It was a little bit easier for me. I only represent the old District 1 session, so to go from 25B to 20A is a little bit easier transition for me. I am a second-term legislator representing Southern Scott County and Western Le Sueur County. My wife is a principal in the parochial school system, and we have five kids, all who at various institutions, public and private, in their educational pursuit. And they range in age, I like to say now, I can only say it for a month, from 16 to 16, because I have a 16-month-old that ranges all the way to a 16-year-old. So I will never retire, but it sure is a fun family. So, I won't reiterate some of the goals that I mentioned before. But I appreciate the opportunity again, Mr. Chair, and I look forward to working on the committee.
Thank you very much. Representative Breinert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Kathy Breinert, and I represent District 19B currently, and the district number issue is an interesting one. I have represented District 23B the last 6 years, and after the elections recently, sometime I typed in 23B, and it's my near neighbor to the west, Tony Cornish, who is now 23B. And so, you know, it's like, Oh, yes. Well, if I get that number mixed up, I'm going to have to negotiate with Tony about this constituent or this issue. So, yes, it is a mindset. It helps us recognize, our districts aren't our own. We're representing constituents and the state, and, as those things change, our districts change too. So I had a little change in the lines of my district, and now I still represent primarily Mankato, but Eagle Lake and some of the surrounding township, Mankato Township. And I really enjoy working in that community. I was on the school board there for 12 years, so I have long roots in educational issues. Prior to that, as a parent, I've been involved in assessment for almost 25 years. So this committee is very interesting to me for a number of reasons. But my main policy goals for finance, I also sit on the policy committee, so I'm not going to maybe cover the whole educational gamut. But the shift, obviously, I think is our highest priority, to figure out how to address the shift. And then the task force recommendations, which others will probably speak to in more detail who have worked extensively on that task force for the last 7 months or so, but especially special education funding, integration revenue, and equity issues that have arisen around the state, around the over-reliance on referenda as a primary means of supporting public education. I think this committee has a responsibility to look critically at those. My third major financial concern is teacher evaluation, and that may sound strange that I raise that as a financial issue, but I sat on the task force shaping that teacher evaluation model for the last 13 months, and it's very clear that we need to support our districts, the pilot projects in particular, but all our districts as they're going to move forward into, we're asking them to create a very robust system, and I think we really have to be sure the resources are available to them to do that in the way that we expect, so that we can assure an effective teacher in every classroom. So I'll stop there. The achievement gap, I think, obviously is a focus for all of us. But for me, the area that I'll carry that discussion more in, I think, is early childhood. I think that's the starting place for that discussion.
Thank you. And next, the chair of the Education Policy Committee, Representative Mariani.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, and good morning to everyone. I'm Carlos Mariani. I represent District 65B, which you're sitting physically in. My district ranges a little bit north of the Capitol, across the river over to the west side community where I live. So I have the entire downtown area of St. Paul and then the West 7th neighborhood, which used to be the home of Schmidt Brewery, and for a brief while, one of the stinkiest ethanol plants in the nation. It's no longer there. We learned that we shouldn't have ethanol plants in the middle of big urban centers. You will most likely often catch me late at night walking home. I live that close, about 3 miles, and it's about the only exercise sometimes I'll get around this place. It's my pleasure to serve on this committee and to serve with Chair Mark Hoyt, Paul, and I. Go back many years, and for those of you who don't know Representative Marquardt, he's one of our brightest, most energetic, and frankly, one of the nicest people up here in the legislature. And so I'm really looking forward to our work together, and I'm not going to repeat the themes that the chair shared. We have that in common. One of the things I do in my life is I direct the Minnesota Minority Education Partnership, and I've done that for about 10 years. We're a race equity collaborative. We've been around for about 25 years, and at one point we were sort of the vanguard voices on issues of race equity and what became later described as the achievement gap. And so it's powerful and it's refreshing to know that our institution here, the People's Institution, is focused on what many of us many years ago foretold would be one of the biggest challenges of our state and our nation. And I know, having worked closely with members from the other side of the aisle, that it's not a partisan issue, that there's genuine concern and energy being poured into creative proposals to quickly get at that issue and make sure that Minnesota is a place where all students succeed, and that means all students. I will just finish by saying yesterday in the I was here in the evening, and isn't that crazy? I was here in the evening, and yesterday, and I fielded a call. I don't know why, what possessed me to answer the phone at 6 o'clock in my office, and it was a school teacher from Minneapolis. And at first she was a little stunned that the legislator would answer a call. And I says, no, we're the people's body. That's what we do, and especially early in session. And she went on to share that she's not only a teacher in the Minneapolis schools, but also a parent of three students in that school district. And she shared some of her angst over our past policy decisions in regards to testing and assessment issues that she thought had taken us far away from the essence of teaching. And I told her that we've been listening very carefully and that we've been doing a lot of work to modernize our assessment system, but we are fiercely interested in always knowing how our students are doing, how our teachers are doing, how our schools are doing. And the big shift, I think, for us is that we're now at a place where we're saying, you know, those assessments and that interest should always be to inform instruction, inform how we can better our schools. And I think that's really the big shift in education policy, away from a sort of, you know, got you kind of framework to one that says, no, we certainly want to be accountable. We want to be tough, if you will, but we also want everything that we do to be about helping you as a teacher be a better teacher, helping students be better students, helping schools be better schools. And so I share that only to say that we have wonderful people in our public education system in this state. Folks that go far beyond what we think they would even have a reason to expect them to do. We are really honored to have you know, thousands of great professionals in our state who care about our kids and care about our educational system. And I hope that we always approach our work here with that in mind, with the humility of that in mind, certainly being tough, if you will, but always being mindful that we're in partnership with wonderful people all over the state in the education of our children. Mr. Chair, I look forward to working with you. I think we're going to do good work this year.
Thank you very much. Representative McDonald.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Joe McDonald. I represent the Wright County, out in Delano. Did you catch that?
Yes.
That was a Freudian slip. So good morning, and it's good to be here. I just got elected to my second term as I represent, I think it's 29A now is my new district number. So it's Howard Lake, Annandale, South Haven, Delano, Rockford, Waverly, and Montrose, and then the township. So just about 45 miles west of here. I sat on the Health and Human Services Committee's Reform and Finance the last 2 years, and am excited now to sit on one of those committees, but now here on Education Finance with Representative Marcourt. I served with him on the Public Safety, and I've come to respect you quite a bit, Chairman, and I think that you will do great work with this committee. We do have some of the best education in the nation, though. What I have found out in healthcare is that in education, our students are outperforming many in the nation. The achievement gap, though, however, is more than a gap. It's a chasm. And I don't know if the Finance Committee, I'll learn that hopefully we can continue to shrink that gap. We have to. You're right, Chairman, that in order to compete in the global economy, our students have to be number one. And each and every one of us, those who are in the audience, we all believe that. We know it. It's just how to get there. We will agree on many things, and I think we'll disagree on several things. But in the end, we'll do what's best for our students. My number one goal here is I've been given a mission by my school boards in Delano and in Wright County. We just recently met with the superintendents, and their number one goal, they were excited that I was on this committee. To be honest, I was a little questionable. I didn't sign up for education finance. But I'm pleased to be here. When I told my school board that I was on the Ed Finance, they were ecstatic. My goodness. So they're grateful that I'm here. And the number one goal they sent me down here is to hope to close that fiscal disparities gap, to hope bring some more money or equal the money of each student. I think we all agree that every student should have the same opportunities, and with that, the same dollar amount must follow. Now, I understand and recognize that in the rural, in the city, the city areas, the metro areas, it costs a little bit more to do business. And if we want to close that achievement gap, perhaps it will cost a little bit more. But in my district, in Wright County, we are equally important. Our students are equally important, and I think they should have the equal funding as in anywhere else in the state, including the metro area. So I hope, and I know that my district in Wright County, my superintendents hope that I can add something to the conversation and hopefully offer some legislation that will close that fiscal disparity gap that we all know about and shake our heads and understand that there's a problem, and that we can identify that and spread the wealth equally. So I look forward to serving with you and doing my very best, and thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Representative Radinovich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Representative Joe Radinovich. I'm from District 10B, which includes communities in Crow Wing County and all of Aiken County. It looks like, and as I've noticed, I'm the first freshman legislator to speak today, so I have to admit that you know, I'm more than a little bit nervous to be using the microphone, but I'm very excited about being here because, for me, you know, a large part of seeking public office was because of my motivation to help the schools back in my district. The two largest school districts in my area are Crosby-Ironton and Aiken. In Crosby-Ironton right now, 59% of the students are on free or reduced lunch. In Aiken, that number is at 69%. And so for me, I see a very direct link between the work that we'll do on this committee to improve the quality of education across the state of Minnesota, to bring some uniformity to the system, and to increase the opportunities, especially for those, you know, like my district in outstate Minnesota. I believe that, you know, the achievement gap is something that we experience both in the metropolitan areas and in economically disadvantaged areas like some of the communities in my district. So over the course of the campaign, I learned that people often appreciate the speaker who is most brief. So with that, I'll see you any further time, and I certainly appreciate the opportunity of being on the committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Representative Newton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Representative Jerry Newton. I represent District 37A, which is portions of Coon Rapids, Blaine, and Spring Lake Park. I'm very happy to be back on this committee. I served here in 2009 and 10, and share obviously the same concerns, but there are specific things that I want to look at. Once again, I want to look at special education, desegregation funding, and nutrition funding. And so I'll be very brief also, you know, we all share these same concerns over equity in funding statewide. You know, it's a very important issue. I represent the largest school district in the state, which is in Okehannapin, and the adjoining district of Spring Lake Park has always been one of the best districts in the state. So I'm looking forward to working with them and with this committee. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. Representative Bernardi.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Spring Lake Park I'm an alumnus of Spring Lake Park, or alumni or whatever, and I'm very happy to be able to represent the community in which I grew up. So I'm a freshman now, and I've been able to get to know the 41 other freshmen, and that's been wonderful. They were calling me senior member. I said I prefer freshmen, although I'm a fourth term non-consecutive freshman, I guess that's how you would say it. I'm happy to be back. Education is my passion. It's what I value, and it's what my family values. It's what's been able to bring my parents, as teenage parents who have now been married for over 50 years, to be able to have the opportunities they've had in their life. And my mom was talking to me this week, and she said, you know, when we were young parents, and we just thought if we worked hard and we advanced our education, and my mom now has a master's degree in nursing, and they're retired, and they retired in their 50s, so I'm just so proud of my parents, but it was education that afforded them that opportunity. My dad with vocational school, and my mom with going on to a community college, where that's what our family could afford for an education, and I actually really value the education that I got at a community college and at the University of Minnesota. Well, anyway, she said, you know, we had opportunities back then. We really felt like if we saved and we worked hard, we could maybe have a cabin someday. My family never did get that cabin, but we moved from a tent, a pop-up trailer, to a pull behind, and now they have a 40-foot motorhome that they travel the country with. But she said, you know, we don't feel that that's the same that people feel now, that everybody has a fair shake and has the same opportunity and can advance and have the dreams and the hopes and achieve the hopes that they have. And that's something I believe that we can, as a committee, help make that, create that opportunity for all of our students and all of our families in the state, because our next generation is what makes a difference, and it's what we all carry in our heart. And that's what I want to focus on, is creating hope and opportunity, and in addition to help support our schools in the innovations that they're doing and the partnerships they're making, especially in the areas with our local colleges and getting kids the opportunity to have advanced education before they're even out of high school, and then the importance of making sure all our kids are ready not only for college and vocational school and advanced education, but also for kindergarten, because we know it costs a lot to get those kids caught up later, and every one of those kids matter. And so whatever we can do to make that happen, that's what I'm here for.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Representative Hurtas.
Very good.
Is that correct? We just met yesterday.
Yes, that's correct.
All right, very good.
Thank you, Chair Mark Wharton. I'm looking forward to serving on the committee here, and also in serving with my fellow representatives. My name is Jerry Hurtas, and I represent District 33A. 33A is Western Hennepin County, basically starts at the Third Suburban Ring, includes 11 communities from Wayzata, Minnetrista, Orono, all the way out to the county line, St. Bonnie, north, all the way up through Greenfield and Corcoran. Like my neighboring colleague, Representative McDonald, we have a mix in that I have AMSD schools. So there's 11 school districts that serve our 33A. So we've got AMSD schools kind of on the east side, and we've got C schools on the west side. And I share Representative McDonald's concerns about making sure that every student in our district, and in the state for that matter, receive a good education. And I also believe that investing in our children is kind of like planting a tree. It's an act of faith in the future. You nurture something that's small and young, and see it grow and flourish into something that is going to be able to provide its own security and its own protection, and provide for its own sustenance. And so education is an investment that's important. We understand that it's a part of our constitutionally mandated authority to do so, and I'm looking forward to serving here as well.
Thank you. Representative Quam.
Well, thank you. I'll enjoy, again, serving on this committee. My old district, 29A, which Joe got, my newest 25A, which Glenn Grunhagen had. I had 10, all are part of 10 school districts. Now I'm down to six. And so I've got a few different, you know, things from Rochester, where there are over 60 languages spoken in the homes of the students, to Hayfield, where they've had declining enrollment, and they have over, they're in the small school underneath a 1,000. Priority-wise, you know, there's the funding, which I see. I was on the Byron School Board, and the last I checked, it was the second lowest per student funding in a you know, for school districts. However, in 2010 they had the National Blue Ribbon High School. In 2011 they won the Intel Math Award. Instead of buying new textbooks, they created a new math curriculum. In 2012, Triton, which is in my district, they won their STEM program, won a national award, and again their funding is down there. So they've been forced to be creative, and I think that we could take some of that initiative and creativity that we see in so many districts across the state and cross-pollinate that to help other students. And you know, I know we've done that somewhat with being on the cutting edge of charter schools, but you know, the mainstream schools are doing that, and we need to look and work on that. Cooperative efforts with the smaller districts, especially in greater Minnesota. I was on the Zumbra Education District Governing Board. I chaired it for a while, and it was several small districts that didn't have the number of students to give the support to special ed and gifted and talented and other programs, so they would share support staff between different districts. And again, that was a creative way of being in a situation and doing what was best for the students, a little bit out of the box. Foster volunteerism. I've volunteered in 15 different schools, and I see the difference frequently as the involvement of the neighborhood, the parents, and the community. And I think we need to look at how can we re-energize the community and the neighborhoods into our schools, so the kids see that school matters. School's important, and it's going to make a difference in their lives. Stronger standards. I was involved, in fact, I chaired the Minnesota State Academic Science Standards Writing Committee back when we shifted from the profiles of learning. And I understood by reviewing other states and our standards in that process how important it is to have that framework, so that all, you know, we are a very mobile population. So if children move from one district to another, because their parents are forced to take a job somewhere else, we need, with those standards, to have the framework so that a student can walk into that new school and be prepared and hit the ball running. I mean, that's what we've got to do as a state to set and help out our students. Strong feedback and testing. I've been on several MCA committees, and I've seen how questions and the tests are set up, but I've also been involved with districts that have had more of a real-time feedback testing. So you test electronically. The students go in, instead of 2-3 hours to get the, you know, enough information on them, the tests are set up to where how they answer this question determines what their next question is. So in 45 minutes, you get that information. But you do it several times a year, so that instead of in the summer, after the students are done with their year of education, and, you know, after the fact you get it, you get results within days. So the teachers can look and see in their classroom, you know, do they have trouble with, the students need help with number theory, you know, etc. You get that real-time feedback. So instead of, oh, we're looking to the future, we're looking to right now, what can we make a difference in the classroom and the students that are in our schools at this time. Another thing is basically, we do have the diversity, so we need to, as a state, allow options and the flexibility, because, you know, if you've been in education, every 4 years, the population of your building is at least 50% changed or greater. And so what you need to do might be totally different than what it was 5 years ago in how you approach and assist and help these students. And I think that if we set up the standards, the framework, we go ahead and have options so that the school districts can pick what works best for their students and deliver, I think we'll do a great job for helping the students in school now and the students coming in. So that's sort of a summary of the things I'd like to see.
Thank you very much. And after Representative Erickson, we're going to come up front to Vice Chair Slocum next, and then we'll go down that way. So, Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm glad to be back on this committee. I'm Sandra Erickson, by the way, and I represent 15A, which is East Central Minnesota. So the school districts include Princeton, the alma mater of our minority leader. I'm his former English teacher. I'm proud of that, to have him in such a honorable position. Malacca, Onamia, Isle, Ogilvie, Mora, Elk River. Those are some of my school districts. I hope that we'll continue to be reform-minded, and that the reforms that we enact will bring about results that increase learning, raise achievement, improve teaching, and empower parents and make sure that our locals stay in control. Those are my goals.
Thank you very much. And now to our Vice Chair, Representative Slocum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Linda Slocum, and I'm honored to be Chair Markwart's Vice Chair for this committee. I think that Chair Markwart and I balance each other quite well. I'm an urban teacher and have been for 20-some-odd years. I never count exact years because time just doesn't mean that much to me. So, well, it doesn't. Years are years, you know.
Yeah. That's
yeah. It's
a good thing for here.
I have two daughters. My oldest daughter teaches in an intermediate district. Some pretty severely mentally challenged kids, high school kids. And then my youngest, my 32-year-old baby, teaches in a charter school on Lake Street in Minneapolis. I represent a suburban district. So, again, we've got balance, urban teacher, greater Minnesota teacher, suburban district, greater Minnesota district. I think we will cover the bases very thoroughly and very well. My goals for this committee, this is my third term on this committee, and my goals are for quite simply an equal playing field. I want to look very closely at the recommendations that the working group on funding is coming out with, because I want to make sure that all voices were heard and listened to, and I want to make sure the playing field is equal, that a kid's education is not determined by their zip code. So that's probably my number one priority, and paying back the shift, of course, is right up there at 1.5 priority. So those two are pretty much tied for first place.
Thank you very much. Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Will Morgan. I represent a good portion of Burnsville and part of Lakeville. I have three children. The oldest is in first grade, who attends local public school in Burnsville. We have, I represent three different school districts, three of the largest school districts in the state, which each one of them has their own unique challenges. I look forward this term to working on hearings on the Education Finance Task Force, taking a look at that and their recommendations, seeing what we can do about that, obviously focusing on the achievement gap and paying back the schools the money that we've borrowed from them. So those are my priorities, and I look forward to serving with you, Mr. Chair, and everybody on this committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much. As most members and folks know here, much of what we will do could also involve property taxes, and we are very fortunate to have the property tax chair here on this committee, Representative Dabney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we're actually even more fortunate to have you, having chaired the property tax division for 4 years in the past as chair of this committee. I have the feeling I'll be in your office quite a bit. I hope so. I'm pleased to be on the committee. I'm Jim Dabney, District 63A. That's part of South Minneapolis. I spent 17 years as a teacher in the Buffalo, Hanover, Montrose school district, which means I taught kids in Representative McDonald's district as well as students from Corcoran in Representative Ertis's district. Father of two kids thriving in the Minneapolis public schools. As a representative from Minneapolis, that means I represent the school district that is the top-performing school high school in the state in Southwest, the 15th highest in South Minneapolis, South, which is in my district, as well as some of the most uniquely challenged schools in the state. We have some of the top-performing charters in Minneapolis, like Hiawatha Leadership Academy, that's just outside of my district, as well as some of the lowest-performing in the state, and I think that is my emphasis then, picking up with the chair's priorities of looking at the achievement gap and focused on that. I'm hoping that we'll look at research-based responses to that, to building strong schools, strong school climates, with a holistic emphasis on the kids, and closing that gap. I did serve on the task force on school finance reform that Commissioner Casalius convened, and think that makes a strong place to start the conversation on both adequacy of school funding and equity of school funding. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Representative Selzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am Yvonne Seltzer, and I represent District 48A, which is Southern Minnetonka and Northern Eden Prairie. I am really excited to be on this committee, particularly after I've heard so many of the members speak, and we share a lot of the same common goals, so I won't repeat them all. Paying back the shift, obviously, is very important, and looking at the task force recommendations, it's very important. I served for 8 years on the Hopkins School Board, that we provide our schools with sustainable, predictable funding so that our school boards, our administrators, our communities can plan for the future and for programs that will indeed eliminate that achievement gap that we all do want to eliminate. And I just want to share that in my particular district, I have two of my districts that actually have some elementary schools that are approaching 50% in the line of free and reduced lunch. So I think the achievement gap is something that is affecting us all across the state of Minnesota and something we really want to work at eliminating. I also want to work at encouraging innovation for shared services in our district so that they can focus more resources towards the classroom, which is very important to all of us. And I am also looking forward to learning quite a bit from this committee, and I think I will, and our community members. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yes, thank you. Representative Wills.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm honored to be here and be a part of this committee. I was very excited to be on education issues. I have the unique experience of having been homeschooled. So my mom believes I'm the first homeschooled legislator in the state of Minnesota. And so I'm very excited to bring that perspective and also be an advocate for school choice while at the same time I know it's very, very critical that we make sure that our public schools are the best that they can be. So excited to work on that. And just a couple of things about my district. It's 57B, so it's the northern part of Apple Valley and all of Rosemont and Coates. And so all of my district is in one school district, so I'm a little spoiled. But our superintendent also lives in my district, and I've had a chance to meet with her, and she has been very innovative and working on closing the achievement gap and leading the way in trying to bring together the high school kids with workforce situations so that they can kind of get familiar with that. So that's something that I'm looking at and hoping that we can continue to encourage. And then also just a little bit of background. I was a personal care attendant for 7 years. So special education is very important to me and want to see how we can encourage those innovative strategies that work in special education. I think will work across the board of being more interactive, more hands-on with students and in ways that we can help them with that. So I'm very much looking forward to working with all of you and honored to be here.
Thank you very much. Representative Myra.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Pam Myra, and I serve in House District 56A. My district changed significantly with redistricting. I used to have the majority of Burnsville, just a little bit of Savage, and now I have all of Savage and just a little bit of Burnsville where I live. I grew up in the Burnsville area, graduated from the local high school way back. I am pleased to be returning to this committee. I'm in my second term. My background is I'm a certified public accountant, and after working for a number of years at an international public accounting firm, I decided to have a family and then decided to home educate my three children. This last spring, my two oldest twins graduated summa and magna cum laude with double majors, and next year, actually just a couple months from now, my youngest will graduate. My keen priorities on this committee will kind of follow through with what I was looking at last year. I'm really concerned about strategies for helping all of our students achieve, and I think one of the things that is very important is that we have effective teachers before all of our students, and also I will want to pursue digital learning, as that allows students to have an element of control over their path, pace, time, and place of their education. So thank you so much, and I appreciate being on this committee.
Thank you so much. Representative Moran.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Rena Moran. I'm now serving my second term. Very excited to be a part of the Education Finance Committee. First term, I was on education policy. Learned a lot through good listening and just having a great group of people with a lot of passion around seeing all our kids succeed. I am a mother. I'm a mother of seven. I have four sons and three daughters. Also a grandmother. My children range from 19 to 29. I have a 10-year-old and what is she now? Maybe an 18-month-old granddaughter who is truly a little girl. just love her. And so a little bit about what I would like to see in the Education Finance Committee. And one of the things I would like to say that I agree with our chair is that I want us to be about not just coming to this table representing our district, but to keep in mind that we represent the state of Minnesota, and the decisions that we make impact all our kids. And hopefully our decisions will be based on looking at the impacts and the outcomes that we're making for all our kids to be successful in school and how we finance that. My degree is in early childhood education, and I taught in that field for 20-plus years, so I am a strong advocate for investing early in our kids' life so that we can ensure that they are entering kindergarten ready and prepared, and that they are reading by third grade, and that they have the opportunity to be successful in school and in life. I think that is really, really important that as we work to close the achievement gap, that we realize that it's not just about an achievement gap, it's about an opportunity gap that we have here in our state. I will hope that we are looking at financing through research-based, that is data-driven. I think we can we come to the table with a lot of opinions about what that looks like, but we have help here. We have people who have taken time to research what works and what does not work and what creates great outcomes for our kids. So hopefully we'll bring some of that into this committee to create some great results. Finally, I would like to say that we talked a lot. I heard some of my colleagues talk about being equal and being, you know, how do we share the wealth equally. And I would like to say that equal does not always, it doesn't represent equity. And so I'm going to leave you with this visual. I saw this picture yesterday, and hopefully it will help you to understand what I mean about equal does not represent equity. And equity is about fairness. And so visualize this. We have three kids who would like to see a ball game. And so they're standing outside, and they want to see this game that's going on. But it's this tall fence that's blocking their view. And so you have maybe you have a 12-year-old, you have an 8-year-old, you have a 4-year-old. And they all want to see this game that's taking place. But this fence is definitely blocking all their view. So they all are given a wooden crate to stand on. And the wooden crate is the same size for all of them. They all are given the same crate, a wooden crate, to look over the fence. So the 12-year-old stands on his crate, the 8-year-old stands on his wooden crate, and you have, I forget what age I said, a 4-year-old, stand on his crate. That's all the same size. But what happened is that the 12-year-old has a beautiful visual of the game, can see it quite well. The 8-year-old, not so well. And the 4-year-old cannot see the game at all. But they were all given the opportunity to have the same crate to have a visual of this game, but it does not work for all. So as we look at how we're going to finance our schools and create opportunities for all our kids, know that being equal and spreading it out on an equal basis does not always create equity for all our kids.
Thank you very much. And members, thank you for sharing that. I think it is very evident that we have a great amount of diversity and passion and enthusiasm, and that's going to carry us a long, long way. So I just really appreciate everyone sharing your thoughts on that. And we're going to come back to some of the things you've stated. Towards the end, we'll talk about what we're going to be doing in future meetings as far as looking at some goals and so forth. At this time, I would like to have staff introduce themselves. As all of the veterans know around this fine institution, that we look good and we get things done because we get great advice and information and work from our staff. It is simply that evident. And so at this time, what I'd like to do is just start here with Shannon, and we'll go here, and then with house research and kind of around the way here. So okay. Shannon, if you would start, please.
Well, I'm Shannon Patrick. I'm the committee administrator for the Ed Finance Committee, and I'm honored to be here working with all of you and with Representative Marquardt.
Good morning. My name is Joe Gould. I'm from La Prairie, Minnesota, up in northern Minnesota between Grand Rapids and Coleraine, and this is my first year working at the legislature as the CLA for the Education Finance Committee. A lot of teachers in my family. Been doing a lot of substitute teaching myself over the last year and a half, so I think this is a good fit, and I look forward to working with each and every one of you, and Chairman Marquardt.
Thank you. And so, members, if there's anything regarding agendas or if you know, attendance-wise, talk to Ms. Patrick or Mr. Gould. These are the folks you'll talk to us in the committee. Tim?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Tim Strom. I'm from House Research. I'm honored to be here with the Education Finance folks again and look forward to a fun year.
Thank you very much. Next.
Yes. My name is Melissa Johnson. I'm the newly minted fiscal analyst for the Education Committee, and I like to refer to myself in the shorthand as the new Greg Crow. Greg Crow has had a high regard and long-serving tenure and very highly respected within the education finance community, and I look forward to working in his footsteps and hopefully earning that your respect from all of you as well. While I am relatively new to the legislature, I started last year staffing the Transportation and Capital Investment Committees. I'm not new to school finance. Prior to being at the legislature, I worked for 9 years at Ehlers, a public finance firm that works with school districts, and I was a financial advisor, so I would go out across the state and talk about the tax impact of bond issues or levy referendums or issue aid anticipation certificates and things like of that nature. So I really do understand and appreciate the rewards and challenges of working in school finance, and I've got a lot to learn, but I'm really looking forward to serving on this committee and working with all of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Melissa. And while we're talking house research, I see Lisa Larson back there. Lisa, would you just stand for everyone to see? And Lisa will be working on a lot of education policy areas for research. And this is nonpartisan research, so members, if there's thoughts on a bill, need help on a bill, or you've got an idea, a tremendous resource to help formulate thoughts and put things actually from thoughts into bills. And then with that, once they come up with the idea for a bill, they then go to the revisor's office. And so thank you very much. And what I always tell my government students is the revisors put everything into legal mumbo jumbo, is how I put it, so that because as legislators we can't actually do that. So at this time, then, now we have partisan research, if Republican research.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you. My name is Jody Withers, originally from Osakis, Minnesota, and I'm the Republican caucus researcher for the committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. And on the DFL side.
Thank you to the chair and the committee. My name is Adele Shuni. I'm DFL caucus research. Originally from Rochester, now I live in South Minneapolis, and I'm really excited to work with the committee.
Thank you very much. And then we also have our very important pages who will be keeping everything up and running and so forth. So if Christina, if you would introduce yourself, and then I see we have a few that either will be temporary or back again. I don't know for sure, but go ahead, Christina.
Hi, my name is Christina. I'm a recent graduate of the University of Iowa, originally from schooling, and now live in South Minneapolis. And I'm excited to be working with you. I'm a scientist committee, so I will be here for everything you guys need. So I'm excited to work with everyone.
So Christina will be our full-time page, and for the first termers, the way that works, for example, if you have a note. If you need some information, just kind of wave her down. She'd come over. You could give her a note. She would, or, you know, whatever. Just kind of wave them down if you need some papers or whatever that might be. So they'll be, like, on amendments and that, they'll be passing things down. They'll have the table already and so forth. And so thank you so much. And do we have a few other pages here today? Or?
Yeah, hi,
very good. All right. That's great. Gentlemen?
My name is Jacob, and I'll be the primary page for the Elections Committee and the Civil Law Committee, but I'm sitting in today. Christina and Emily and Grace, just to get a feel for the committee.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any other pages or anyone we need to go? Thank you very much. Also, we need to work very closely with the Department of Education, and I know there's at least one rep here from the department today, if you'd care to introduce yourself.
Captain McHenry, Governor of Relations of the Department of Education, for Commissioner Sally is here as well.
Very good. Thank you. I didn't see you. Very good. Thank you. We have one member joining us, Representative Grunhagen. If you would care to just introduce yourself and talk about what you would like to see as far as any goals or priority for this committee this year.
I was born at a very early age. Now, you want me to start there? No.
That sounds good.
Yeah, Representative Glenn Grunhagen. I'm House District 18B, which is rural district, McLeod-Sibley County. Also, first time on the Education Finance Committee. I did serve as a GSL school board member for 16 years. If some of you forgot that, I thought I'd just remind you. The other thing is, I guess areas of interest would be the academic gap between minorities and Caucasian students in the state. My understanding is that we have one of the worst in the nation. And I'm especially interested in pursuing policies that would close that gap. We spend a tremendous amount of additional money in the inner city, and we're getting very poor results for that. I think that there's good, effective, concrete policies, not necessarily more funding, that can produce much better academic results for those students and to give them a better chance of graduating and being a productive citizen here in our state and nation. That desire to help those students comes from also 13 years as jail ministry. I did prison ministry for on a voluntary basis. And one of the things I noticed while doing prison ministry is most of the prisoners couldn't read decent or up to the level that they should. And when they go through 12 years of public education and they cannot read proficiently, that puts them at a disadvantage on employment, on participation in society, and on improving their lot in life. So that's one of my major focuses among many in education. Would you like some additional information?
We'll have plenty of meetings there, Representative Grunhagen. Thank you so much.
And I look forward to working with you and the rest of the committee members.
I appreciate that. So, and, you know, I'm hoping, and I know we will, that, you know, everyone, this is your voice here is at the table, that you can represent your constituents in the state, like Representative Moran says. And I have always thought that a robust debate is good. In a democracy, that's what it's all about. And, you know, we're all moving in the same direction. We're going to have different ways in which we think we can best get there. And that's the role of this committee, to debate those things. So thank you so much. Do we have all the introductions complete, I think? Oh, I'm sorry. We have also from the publications session weekly.
Yeah.
Sarah, thank you. At this time, according to the agenda, let's move to the committee procedures. If you would look at, there's a handout everyone should have, and I'm not going to go over all of the points. You can certainly look at that, but I would like to just make a couple comments on a few of them. It should say 2013-14 committee procedures. Just number two, if you are going to be gone, if you would just notify Ms. Patrick or Mr. Gould, just mainly so we make sure we have a quorum and so forth. So that's all you need to do. Just if you could just notify them of that. I think number three, if once we get into a lot of debate and there might be a number of people who want to speak, just and mainly just for the first termers probably, just I may be looking at someone else, and all you need to do is get Ms. Patrick's or Mr. Gould's eye, and they'll just write down and keep a list. So just kind of raise a hand, they'll indicate that. And so I may not see you, but we'll get you on the list. So that's kind of when debate gets going, you can do that. Number five, I think transparency should be a big goal for this committee. And what I'm looking at is, and this is later on down the road, but for amendments. We meet early at 8:15, and what I'm trying to avoid is having staff coming in at 6 o'clock in the morning and doing amendments. And so we're looking at like 2 p.m. the day before. That's about roughly 18 hours the day before to try to get amendments in. If it's a minor amendment, that's fine. My main thought on this is so that we can properly get those amendments put together and do that by the end of the working day the day before. Also, and I'll mention this, Representative Woodard, as we get closer to like the omnibus bill, is that if you have an amendment you would like to bring up, and let's say it was a bill that had already been introduced, you do not have to rework it to fit it in. You can just do the bill introduction. So we're not redrafting everything. We'll just make sure it fits in at that point. But we can talk more about that. But, you know, trying to, and then we can fit it in afterwards if it, you know, gets approved and into the thing. So, and then also, and Ms. Patrick, maybe you can, and it says an amendment will be considered public once it is turned in unless the amendment's author indicates otherwise. And this would be put on the website, potential amendments?
Possibly.
And I think that's good for the public. I mean, I think it's very important that we do the work here in committee, because this is the one spot where folks and residents and people around the state can actually come in and testify and talk to a bill. So as much information as we can put on the website prior to, we're going to try to do that. So amendments that come in will, I'm not saying it's always going to be that way, but it's, we have the prerogative to put that onto the website that these are potential amendments that may come forward. And number seven, if there are copies and things that we need, we'd like those by 2 o'clock the day before, and also with 50 copies. But if it's normal things, we do the copies. Is that correct? But how does that work, Ms. Patrick? If you, just so it's kind of clear to members when they would have to copy them, and we will copy those.
Mr. Chair and members, I think if you can provide Joe or I with one copy of what you want to have distributed to members and made available to the public for a committee hearing, then if you get it to us by the 2 p.m., then we can take care of getting the copies made. But if you're bringing something at the last minute, and it's always subject to the chair's approval whether it gets distributed or not, but if you are bringing something at the last minute, then we're saying that we're asking you to be responsible then for making sure that there are sufficient copies, so you should be bringing 50 copies of the material.
Thank you very much. And then also, if you look at number eight, if you want something saved, place it in this folder, otherwise the pages are going to take that other materials and recycle it. So if you want something saved, a document that is at a certain meeting, put it in the save file. That will remain, so every time you come in here, you'll have that in your file. Otherwise, everything else is going to be recycled. Any questions on this? Representative Woodard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just to clarify on the posting of the amendments that are meet the deadline, the 2 o'clock deadline, what's the criteria for it posting on the Internet versus not?
You know, Representative Woodard, we really had not talked about that. I guess we could say that all of them could be on there. I guess, you know, is that a big problem to do that, to place them on there? Can we just, okay. So I think let's just assume that they would all be placed on there.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair.
That's great clarification. I just, that way it just, people ahead of time know what we're going to be talking about. So let's just assume right now we will try our very best to put all of the amendments that are received by the 2 o'clock deadline. Representative Mariani.
Mr. Chair, I don't see the addition to the rule that has the chair providing sweet rolls at every meeting. Was that just an oversight on the part of the typist?
Representative Mariani, first of all, there are no amendments to these that I will be entertaining today. And that is certainly within the discretion of the chair. Thank you very much.
That was worth a try.
Yes. All right, anything else on questions on the rules? And like I said, you can look those over if you have questions when we meet again on Tuesday, or ask Shannon or Joe of that. And okay, so the next is kind of looking at our schedule. Here's what I would like to do. Is we heard a number of various goals and ideas and things that members would like to do in the committee this year. What I would like to do on Tuesday and really spend a pretty good amount of time in this first month is on Tuesday, first of all, talking about what are 3 to 5 major goals we would like to accomplish. Does that mean that's all we would accomplish? No. But I really believe it's important that this committee have some priorities. That at least when bills come before us, we say, you know, this is a priority. Not again to say that things that wouldn't hit those top 3 to 5 would not be considered. But I'm just saying what I'd like to do is get a consensus from the group of 3 to 5 goals. And so I think we heard a number of kind of general areas today, and I'm going to ask Mr. Strom to put some things together and House Research staff on just kind of some definitions of some of the things we talked about. And we will do that at the beginning of Tuesday's meeting. And then on Tuesday, we're just going to have a bit of a discussion on trying to reach a consensus of 3 to 5 goals. So if I could ask members kind of to think about that. And then what I would like to do after that is, and I'm asking members, I'm asking people in the public, to then, how can we best, in the best kind of data-driven, research fashion way, achieve those goals? So the next, I'm going to hope to reserve 3 to 4 to 5 meetings in having various groups that then can feel they can meet the goals that we have outlined in this group. So the first month is really talking about goals and how we can best get there, talking about outcomes and results and that type of thing. During that first month, however, there will be some other meetings. For example, other meetings other than just the goals and that. Next Wednesday is, you know, one of the things we have the benefit of in education is a lot of data. You know, in other areas we really don't, but we have tons of data on student achievement and the achievement gap and graduation rates and AYP and the whole works. And so on Wednesday, because I think that's going to be a lot of focus of our discussion, this committee, we're going to have the Department of Education come in and talk about the data system that they have and everything out there. And what I'd like to ask members to do for next Wednesday is to bring their own computers here. I think it will work. You have to do the wireless. But then, as we were talking to the commissioner, they could kind of run, you could look at your own district and actually play around with it in committee, because I think it's that important. If we're going to be data-driven and we're going to look at outcomes and how we can measure things and that type of things, we can do that. Oh, Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Are you then for suspending Rule 10, or are you amending it? I know it's the chair's prerogative.
Representative Quam, yes, I am waiving Rule 10 for Wednesday. That will just be pretend like that doesn't exist. Very good point. But so we'll get to play with that on Wednesday, and then we'll do some little bit of overview on Thursday of next week, and then the following week, Tuesday and Thursday, we'll be entertaining groups coming forward that we think can meet our goals, that are they think, and they can testify. But on the 23rd, which is a Wednesday, January 23rd, and we'll get this out, but this is just thinking ahead, we are planning to have a joint meeting with the Senate Education Finance Committee to hear the governor's budget proposal, because I believe that comes out the 22nd, and I think we should hear it as soon as possible rather than waiting. So we will hear the governor's budget proposal in a joint meeting, and I think that will probably be here. I was talking to Senator Wieger. I think that probably will be here on the 23rd, and listen to that. So there will not be much for bill hearings until we kind of complete this process, which will be towards the end of the month. So I just think it's really, really important as a group that we all focus on what the goals are and kind of the best ways to achieve that before we move on. So, all right. Anything else for the good of the order before we adjourn? Seeing none, members, have a good weekend, and congratulations all the everyone back on re-elections, and I'm looking forward to a fantastic year. Thank you, and we are adjourned.